That's a treat, right? It's a wonderful treat for us, the Global Church. It's good to see everyone. Today is our Mission Sunday. Thank you, Sunny, and the Missions Committee, and our missionaries visiting us, and our church, all the volunteers. Can we give them a big shout? Woo! Woo! You're all amazing. And supporting, and our church who is supporting us big time to our missions work. And to all our visitors who are one with us in this cause and movement. However, if you are here for the first time, thank you too for visiting our church today. WCC's mission is that everyone will have the opportunity to meet, know, and follow Jesus. We pray that you meet Jesus today and join His movement. Because it will move on forever. Special thanks to our Papuri singers. Hats off to you guys. And our Indian worshipers, right? This is a celebration, a taste of the grand reunion we are waiting for. Let's pray. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit, we ask, so we can see the glory of Christ in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. As a church, we are going through a series called Pressing Through Fear. As a world, we are facing many challenges and there are many emotions arising. And the very obvious one is fear. We're in this series here at church. I attended three memorial services last week. One, a member of our Papuri group, because of COVID. Two, our members of our church. And I'm going to miss them all. It was a bit draining for me. It's hard on you because you become more aware of your mortality too. Our very own well-loved Pastor Joseph Moses is not exempted from death from COVID. He died of COVID in spite of his faithful service to God. Actually, with the other 3,000 more ministers who died with COVID in India. Yes, all you know, the emotional and the mental health problems are skyrocketing because of fear due to the pandemic and the lockdown. It's sad to hear, right? Kids committing suicide. Thus, our church is addressing this very important issue, how to overcome this plague from outside and inside. In the short time that we have, I want to remind you that God has given us the ultimate answer to overcome the presence of fear and how to face the battles of life and overcome it. In short, His answer against the presence of fear is His presence in us. The key is to know that Jesus Christ is here with us and that we join Him to share His gospel to our neighbors and to the ends of the earth. As a church for 50 years now, we are celebrating 50th this year. This has been our mission. We are so happy with all our missionaries. Throughout our church history, we have sent out our missionaries. We are happy that we are currently supporting and we sent out our very own homegrown. They're no longer children now. Todd Kramer with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Allison Gibson with Kids at Heart, my daughter Kisaya there, woo, with InterVarsity, and in the field currently our King and Faith Sacramento. We are proud of that. We have also prayed for others like Bernadette Saldana, Josh Masip, and many more, and they are back with us now. We continue to strongly partner with Breakthrough Church in the heart of Payatas dump site in the Philippines. For more than 10 years, we have been feeding about 400 children a week, supporting the Breakthrough Church and educational scholarships, as we call I-320. We are currently supporting 33 children in the scholarship program, and we target to reach 40 this school year. There we'll have a booth later on. Since the Breakthrough Church started the scholarship programs 14 years ago, 52 are now college graduates and are now professionals and faithfully serving the Lord and providing for their families. And we celebrate. Amen. in that. I am a living testimony to that too. I was also sponsored throughout my education in the Philippines. She supported me when I still took my master's program here at Biola. My faithful sponsor is Auntie Betty Wagner, who is now with the Lord in her ministry called Wayfarers Ministry in Pasadena. She has touched thousands of children, actually. You know, even though we know God is in us, we have our own challenges too. We are not exempted from fears. Allow me to share with you my own challenges, especially about the future of our children, my children, your children. I have asked permission to Keziah if I can share my personal fears and struggle about her decisions in life. As many of you know, we prayed and supported Keziah to become a nurse. Many of you prayed for her and encouraged her. You know, all the titos and the titas, the aunts, the kuyas, you know, the uncle. This is the village where she grew up in our church community. She was a big help to us when Lelot had two back surgeries, and when Lelot was lying in bed, literally, for 6 months, 7 years ago. The two kids also helped as well. But we saw in her, you know, this becoming a nurse. So we knew for sure God is calling her to be a nurse. After finishing her nursing program from her grade school and passing her license right away and everything, I'm so emotional. Why? She told me in Lelo that she believes the Lord is calling her. Why? He's calling her for full-time ministry to reach out to university students with InterVarsity. And share God's love to them. That's close to my heart. And disciple them. She also showed interest to go to seminary too. Watch out, church. We will have a preacher coming up. You know the hearts of parents, right? I'm a very pragmatic person, especially in the area of finances, especially as an immigrant. I want her to be financially stable, especially when she has her family on her own for my grandchildren, right? Please don't get me wrong. We're all 100% supportive to her. I'm in full-time ministry with FEBC, with the Far East Broadcasting Company. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I have literally seen the faithfulness of God to our family and now my family. I'm a second-generation Levite, as I may call, and now Keziah is becoming the third generation. But you perhaps know the concern of parents for financial future of our children. You know? But you know what? This is my assurance. I know the ending. She is safe in the hands of God wherever the Lord will lead her. I'm always amazed how the small band of followers and apostles did it in the first century, how they overcame fear and served Christ and became a great witness. I'm always awed by that. How did they conquer the Greco-Roman world for Jesus? They turned the world right side up. They didn't have the written scripture yet, the New Testament, but they have seen the risen Christ. You must love a good story, either in books or movies. Every artwork is also a storyteller, either in song or in canvas. And God, the history maker, is telling His story to us through His Son. As the 21st century followers of Jesus Christ, how can we tell this story right now in our age? How can we translate Christ's story to the generation today? They witnessed a perfect life on an individual they called the Son of God, who loved, served, washed their feet, and gave His life as a ransom for the sins of this world. And He changed their lives. They saw that. They saw the John 3:16 person. They served fearlessly because they lived out Christ's narrative in their lives. Faith based on Jesus' narrative overcomes fear. Many of us knew how the disciples suffered and died because of their faith, and many are dying right now by following Jesus Christ. Here's how Dr. Luke, the historian, investigated and interviewed witnesses to narrate accurately what transpired, thus writing the Gospel of Luke, and now the book of Acts, chapter 1, to his friend Theophilus. Theologians say that you must read both Luke and Acts together to clearly understand the context of his writing. They say it's a single unified book. Please take note that while we are reading this text, I inserted with parenthesis the six gospel salvation narratives events of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will always come back to this whenever I fear, whenever I experience fear. These are narratives all over the scripture because the Bible is all about Christ. I inserted it because we have very limited time. It's also written in our sermon notes today. And we're going to read. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And that's where the incarnation of Christ comes in. Until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, I'm inserting the cross of Christ there. He presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God, the resurrection of Christ. And on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" That's what the prayer of the Israelites were asking, were praying, were waiting. In verse 7 he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that's where the indwelling of Christ's Spirit comes in. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. The ascension of Christ. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Hallelujah. How did the early disciples in the first century Christians overcome their fears and battles? And what can we learn from them? They were armed with a gospel message. We are armed with a gospel message. This is the salvation narratives of God's love to us. We call the gospel. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." I would like to encourage you that let's communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. I know they are attacking Christianity. They are attacking Christ. But you know what? God is moving in this world. Amen? God is moving. I received this very encouraging story earlier this year as part of my ministry with Far East Broadcasting Company. I worked with the 17 ethnic people groups in Southeast Asia. The people group is in Myanmar. I won't mention the people group. The Christians' population is only 0.1%. They are considered unreached people groups. Missiologists consider people group less than 2% Christians as unreached. Less than 2%. He told me and emailed me, Hi, Jonathan. Just wanted to update you what encouraging report we've recently received from local partners. A few ministers with the same ethnic people group recently traveled to a village for the first time and saw unusual receptivity. By the end of the first day, 30 homes, almost the whole village, expressed a desire to follow Jesus. And by the next morning, they were lining up to cut off the animistic strings around their wrists and necks that supposedly ward off evil spirits. Many of these ethnic people groups are animist and they worship spirits. Their religion is controlled by fear. Fear of the spirits. Isn't it the same thing with us here? We're also covered by those spirits, those fears, but it's in a different way. The spirit priest was first in line and he told our minister friend, "This is what we've been waiting our whole lives to hear." Our friend asked if anyone ever come to explain the gospel before, and the villager said, "We've been listening for years to radio broadcast about Jesus. Shortwave, very old technology. And we've always wanted to learn more. The kids don't know shortwave anymore, right? But you're the first people to come and explain it to us in person." Our minister friends credit the FEBC radio broadcast for preparing the soul in this village before they arrived. A few days later, the militia showed up and threatened the villagers with guns, demanding they recant their faith. But the village people refused. There was courage. The militia even demanded a fine from every household that chose to follow Jesus. Every single household chose to pay the fine instead of turning back. Unfortunately, the political unrest in Myanmar is keeping our friends from returning to this village, and we're still praying for Myanmar, right? But they continue to encourage and teach these villagers by phone until the roads open again. We've been encouraged by this report and wanted you guys to be encouraged that God is still working in the midst of chaos in Myanmar. Their life stories change because they discovered the life story of Jesus Christ. They became fearless. We have a powerful message based on this 6 salvation narratives of Jesus Christ, and that narrative become truth to us. We'll just go quick with this and stare in all your small groups. I prepared questions specifically for these, for all our small groups in our church. First is the incarnation of Christ. You all know this. God became a man and became one with us. But this is a profound message, the incarnation of Christ. This is the ultimate humility and submission of the Son of God to His Father. Ultimate service, ultimate sacrifice, and how they humble each, them, the three person in one. Always work together in harmony. What incarnation means is God experiencing suffering and pain with us. He lived with the poor, the marginalized. He's branded as friends of sinners. I challenge our small groups. Let's discuss the incarnation of Christ, and that's how that will change our life. Number 2, the cross of Christ. The cross is our message. His body was broken, His blood shed for cleansing of our sins. Thus, we understand grace, love, mercy, forgiveness, reconciliation, and relationship needs to understand the cross of Christ. That's why I understand now to ask for forgiveness to my wife, to my children, in the same way they ask forgiveness to me, because we understand the cross and the reconciliation. Hallelujah. Recently I had relationships that were restored and reconciled. Friendships were restored because of the narrative of the cross of Christ. There's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are no longer condemned because Christ was condemned. we no longer need to perform because Christ already performed the ultimate sacrifice. We no longer need to beat ourselves because Christ was ultimately beaten on our behalf. We no longer need to be ashamed because Christ became the ultimate shame. He became sin, so we are made righteous, so we are free. I am free. You are free if you put your life in Jesus Christ. Only in this narrative can we fully understand God's forgiveness to us and forgiveness to each other. The resurrection of Christ. Jesus conquered death. Oh, how we love to see. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? For the loved ones who had gone before us, those three people that I'm going to miss, I know their narrative. I know their story. They are now in God's presence, waiting and excited for His return. Number four, the ascension of Christ. Jesus and went back to His Father as a reigning King and ruler of His victorious kingdom. You know what? We have a reigning King with us. He is with us. Thus, we are victorious. Do you think God wants this story to be kept to ourselves? No. I love listening to our pastor, Tim Keller, and he said, our faith is personal, but it's not private. It must be shared so communities will be formed. And it is based on the relationship, what God is so in relationship to each other. So we will have a glimpse of that understanding. The Lord has called us to share this narrative to the whole world. This is our mission, the Great Commission. And He never leaves us, but He sent His Spirit to live in us. We are commanded and empowered to do His mission. Matthew 28:18, the Great Commission statement. We can freely serve because He is with us. We overcome fear because we know God is with us. The presence of our Father takes away our fears. The fifth narrative, the indwelling of Christ's Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit all the time. We need His power. However, He has now come upon us and live within us. Serving calls for waiting and prayer. I praise God our leadership team is emphasizing on the waiting, praying, and crying out to God. We need to cry out to God. I thank God we are emphasizing prayer in our church. We still have many things to learn. And the final event and story, the return of Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ the King is coming back to rule together with the church. We will reign with Him forever. And this is our story. This is our story with Jesus Christ. Can we sing, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. The best is yet to come. The great reversal is coming up. A friend of mine asked me, why only six? I like the number seven because it's complete. I told him, let Christ write it in your life. It becomes seven when Christ comes into your life. Now, it is His story in your life. The narrative, Jesus' story, has changed me and still changing me as a person. This is our reality. This is my reality. And this has changed billions of people throughout the ages. I pray that this become yours too. If you are a seeker right now, we offer you Jesus. Your story will change. We have a lot to do. We There are still about 3 billion who haven't heard the gospel story in the name of Jesus. There are about 7,000 people groups from that 3 billion people that we need to reach. Praise God for technology. You're all using technology right now. Let's maximize this until we have time. The good thing is that many of these people groups are coming to us in our universities, and they'll be our neighbors, especially here in Irvine. Thanks, crew. Thanks, Bridges. Thanks, InterVarsity, Navigators. Come on, let's engage with them. They're here. They're here in Irvine. Thus, the positioning of our campus ministries are so crucial. You know what? I talked to the leader of Mongolia, our leader. He said, 30 years ago, they're celebrating 30 years right now. 30 years ago, there were only 6 known Christians in Mongolia. Because I was there in the Lausanne Congress in the Philippines. I was covering the Lausanne Congress with Dr. Billy Graham. I was assigned first time to do the coverage, and the prayer was that. And he said, now 30 years from now, they're celebrating, they're growing. Mongolia missions is growing as well. They're reaching out to Afghanistan. They're reaching out to the countries that, you know, it's hard to reach because they're becoming missionaries as well. And he said, the ministry of the campus ministries were so effective then. That's why they're growing. That's why they're growing. I attended the Sing conference in Nashville a couple of weeks ago. One thing I won't forget in one of the meetings was what Dr. David Platt said, the author of Radical, one of the prime voices of cross-cultural mission in the church, U.S. church today. He challenged the church to really go to the unreached people groups around the world. He said, and I quote, 99% of U.S. funding for missions are going to already reached people groups. 97% of missionaries are going to the reach people groups. He said, we must rectify the balance. We have data, we have information that we can pinpoint. And the world is coming here. This is where we can reach also the unreached. The thing is, let's be missionaries, every one of us. We are called to be missionaries everywhere you go. Everywhere God has placed you. Let's support the missions work of our church as we reach the world of Jesus, the world for Jesus Christ. God called us to be witnesses in Irvine, in Orange County, or Judea, and to the other people groups that don't look like us. That's our Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gospel message. Lord, each narrative of what you did changes us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity of giving. Thank you also, Lord, for the opportunity of serving. Thank you also for the opportunity of going. Father, help us to be missions people until we see you face to face. Lord, bless Woodbridge Community Church. Bless our missionaries. Bless every missionary here, because each one of us is a missionary for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.